This is the Monday, June 13th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got you covered with a variety of action for this evening, so settle in and we'll set you up in about 10 minutes with everything you need to know heading into the betting day.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Happy new week to you. It's Monday, June 13th. Tyler Folger, Manita Marks with you. We finally get to see a very, very crucial Game 5 of the NBA Finals after a couple days off this weekend. Warriors and Celtics back in action tonight in San Francisco. Series knotted up at 2 apiece after Steph's 43-point effort propelled the Warriors to a Game 4 victory. Coming back home, right now the Warriors are favored by about 4 points, depending on where you're shopping, 3.5, 4 points. Total around 211. Anita, let's start with side and total. How are you expecting to play either of those marks before we jump into the prop market?
Yeah, so listen, I'm sorry. Did Curry have a foot injury? Are you sure?
That didn't seem right? Like it.
So, you know, as you know, I host Sports Talk Radio here in New York City on Saturday and Sunday, and I over under how many times I use the word bamboozled, because I feel we were. You know, and my producer, Ty, made an excellent point. Was there any report of an MRI? I mean, think about it, Ty. How often are injuries happening, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, and we hear like, oh, player's getting an MRI on Monday or player's getting an MRI. Like, we didn't – that wasn't reported. Like, shame – like, listen, and shame on me. But also, we had a lot of, like, boots on the ground in Boston, and all we kept on hearing, right, Ty, was like, oh, Curry was going to be compromised, right? So I bought into it, and you and I talked about it. You know, I've been on this Warriors team for a while, and the only reason that I came to the dark side, and I know that's your side, Tyler, was because of the Curry injury and the fact that Golden State had lost home court advantage. Well, I know I'm going to sound wishy-washy to our listeners here, and that's fine. I've got thick skin. It's all right. Come at me. I don't care. But I'm laying the points with the Warriors. I still believe that they're the better team, especially at home. Now this series, it's all tied up. So what happens? It's a three-game series now. So I'm playing the Warriors. I'm going to lay the points at 3.5. I'm going to play the team total over 106.5. Boston dominates the second quarter. They have a plus 44 point differential in this series. So I'll play Boston in the second quarter, and I'll continue to ride the Warriors in the third quarter. They're 4-0 straight up and against the spread in the third quarter. That's the most time, by the way, I came across this in prepping for the show today, the most time that both Curry and Wiggins are on the court at the same time is in the third quarter. And that's a big reason why they dominate the third quarter, especially in this series. So back at the Chase Center, they're 5-1 against the spread. Let's be honest, the only reason that the Golden State Warriors, in my opinion, lost at the Chase Center was that fourth quarter unbelievable performance by the Celtics going 40 against 16. So, you know, game two, they won by 19 points. They've got a 119 offensive rating at the Chase Center. On top of that, I know Boston is 7-0 after a loss. I know that's the other trend that we need to be paying attention to. That's why I mention it. But I'm really curious about Rob Williams. You know, one of my favorite prop bets in game four was under 2.5 blocks and steals, because the game after a 24 period downtime, Rob Williams does not play more than 15 minutes. He played 31 minutes. So that trend was discontinued by the Boston Celtics in game four. And he had to be removed off the court with the last few minutes, and he was limping. So I'm really curious. I do expect Rob Williams to play. Listen, whoever wins this game, in my opinion, wins the series. So I do believe expect him to play, but like at what percentage, right? Another cross-country road trip. This will be their fourth in six games Is fatigue playing a factor, especially is the turnover ratio we're seeing with the Boston Celtics? So all those reasons why I'm playing this the way I am. I have a ton of prop bets, but I want to hear what you have to say about the game before I get into my prop bets.
Yeah, I'm on the other side. I'm going to take the points with the Celtics. I will lay the points with the Warriors in the third quarter and ride that trend, because especially now that they're back at home, I have a lot of confidence in that. But I think getting in the Celtics 4 points when they have been so resilient all season, all postseason, bouncing back from losses. I like the Celtics in 6 games. So to do that, they have to win this game. I think we're getting value on them because of the recency bias of seeing Steph go for 43 and Golden State get that victory. I wonder if we're just giving Golden State a little bit too much credit for a certainly a possible outcome for Steph. He can go for 40 in a game, but I'm going to suggest it's more likely and more probable that we see a little bit of scoring regression from him. If he scores, you know, 33 points, it's still not a bad effort, but that's 10 less from Steph there. And I think that's very well within the, you know, possible outcomes of this game and probable outcomes of this game. So I think Steph will be good, but I just don't know if he'll have 43. So I think that kind of lowers the ceiling a little bit of Golden State, even though they're at home and they have been awesome at home. It's just the one loss there so far this postseason. I like Boston to actually win this game, so I'll take the 4 points and give myself a little bit of cushion in case they lose a close one by three or less. And again, I will ride that third quarter trend with the Golden State Warriors and lay the point and a half there. So that's the way I'm looking at this game. We're kind of on opposite sides there. We've been zigging and zagging, I feel like, on opposite sides for pretty much this entire series, except for game four. I do think it's an under environment. Again, if Boston wins, they win with defense. The defense of Golden State gets better at home anyways. So 211 is not a lot, but I wouldn't be surprised if that total goes under. And if one team really, really goes under its team total, I, of course, would be looking at the Golden State Warriors since I like Boston to win this game slightly. All right, prop market, you said you got a zillion out there. The people, Anita.
I said I've got a plethora. Yeah, you might look at it as a zillion. So anyway, I'm rolling with Curry, right? Like, you know, these are the games where like legacies are defined. So I'm gonna go Curry over 30.5 points back at home at the Chase Center. I'm also gonna go, this is a fun bet, Tyler, consecutive threes, where and 50% of the shots that are taken from Curry are behind the arc. So I think this is a really, really, really good bet to make, especially because of the value here. It's plus 370 that Steph Curry is going to make 2 3-pointers in a row. How about that? Might be my favorite bet tonight, I'll be honest with you. He's averaging 34 points a game. He's shooting 50% from the field and from downtown. He's averaging 5 3-pointers a game. He's playing 37 minutes. Who knows? Maybe he plays 40 tonight. I'm going to go back to the well with Wiggins over 24.5 points and rebounds, 16 rebounds in game four. He's averages 8 a game. He's averaging 37 minutes. It is evident that the Golden State Warriors, I think a big reason why they won game four was their offensive rebounding, right? So they had 16 offensive rebounds that equated to 19 second chance points. In game three, Boston had 15 offensive rebounds that equated to 22 offensive points. So, well, offensive points, that's an oxymoron, right? But anyway, I think Wiggins is going to be needed for the fact that he's a rebounding, I'd use a different word. I know this is a family show, but he just gets after the rebounds, right? I'm also going to go Looney over 7.5 rebounds. Very interesting, right? Like, he didn't start game four, and immediately, as soon as Kerr saw that that Porter wasn't fitting the bill, he benched him and brought in Looney. And Looney ended up playing 25 minutes. I think he goes back to Looney. He needs Looney for those rebounds to limit those second chance points for Boston. So I expect him to start over Porter tonight. We'll see. But even if he doesn't, I still like the over 7.5 rebounds for Looney. Rob Will, I'm going under 7.5 points and under, I'm going back to the under 2.5 blocks and steals. Again, I think we saw him re-injure that knee. He was taken out with the last few minutes. I know that they've had a great deal of downtime because they're traveling to the left coast, but I still don't think Rob Williams is 100%. And last but not least, I'm going Marcus Smart over 3.5 rebounds. He averages 4 or more a game, and he's playing almost 40 minutes, and he's going to be needed as well in the paint, especially if Rob Williams doesn't play 31 minutes. So those are some of my favorite prop bets tonight. Do you have any?
Of course, I got a few there. I like what you touched on. One I've been riding and I will continue to ride, although a little bit of risk is introduced, especially when he is back home. But Jordan Poole under points, assists, and rebounds is at 17.5. He's been under this in 3 of 4 games this postseason. Thinking again that Boston defense is going to show up and the matchup is not necessarily great for Jordan Poole. On the other side, I've been hammering this. And again, with me thinking Boston's going to win, I like Marcus Smart over 24.5 points, assists, and rebounds. They need big games from Marcus Smart to not only defend against Steph Curry, but to add that third piece offensively, whether it's him, Derek White, someone else, Al Horford, alongside Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So those are two that I really like. I also like Jason Tatum over, I believe it's 13.5 rebounds and assists. He has been not necessarily scoring like Steph Curry, 35, 40 points in a game. He's been pretty much in the 20s this entire series, but we've seen him have some big assist game and big rebounding. He fills up the box score. Tatum is a complete player. He will take what the defense gives him. He will try and find open players. And he's obviously the focal point, I should say, of that Golden State defense. So I've been impressed with the all-around game that Tatum has shown us, even though the offense hasn't been super, super, robust. He, again, not scoring 35, 40. He's knocking down his threes. Been struggling inside the three-point line, but I've been impressed with the all-around game and the all-around box score we're getting from Jason Tatum. So I think it's a plus price, too, at over 13.5 for Tatum, which I believe he's gone over in 3 of the 4 games as well. So game five, crucial game five of the series, not enough but 2 apiece. Again, whoever wins game five, history shows, has better than an 80% chance to win the NBA Finals. Going back to who takes that 3-2 advantage when the series is tied at best of 2. 9 p.m. Eastern on ABC, 6 p.m. Pacific tonight. Game 5 from the Bay, Warriors and the Celtics. We can warm up a little appetizer with some baseball. Every game starting kind of in the evening from coast to coast. So anything on the diamond today, Anita, that stands out to you?
Yeah, I love the Arizona Diamondbacks today against the Reds. Miner is pitching for the Reds. He's 0-2. Their bullpen has been compromised. They've tapped into that bullpen pretty deep 3 of their last 4 games. And oh, by the way, it is one of the worst, if the not worst bullpen in all of Major League Baseball. Meanwhile, for Arizona, they got Kelly on the bump. Last time he went up against the Reds, he pitched 6 innings and only gave up 1 hit. And also he's pretty great at home with a 2.65 ERA. So I'm going to play the Diamondbacks on the run line, and that's plus 135. And also, I like the Blue Jays today against the Orioles. The O's, they have rookie Bradish, who is pitching for them, and he's going to have his hands full. He's 1-3 with a 6.45 ERA. He doesn't have a lot in his repertoire. It's really just a fastball, and opponents are pretty much using that as batting practice. So Toronto almost averaging 7 runs per game the last 2 weeks. They know they're way behind the Yankees. They have to try to play catch up. Not sure if they will catch up to them because the Yankees are just playing unbelievable baseball. But also they have the best hardball hit rate in Major League Baseball. And the fact that Bradish really doesn't have a lot of pitches in his repertoire other than the fastball, I think they go yard a lot. So again, I'm going to play the Blue Jays on the run line, and that's minus 135. Also, I'm going to have fun with this, and I'm going to play the Diamondbacks and the Blue Jays both on the money line parlay, and you can get that at plus 127.
I like that. I do like the Blue Jays. One game that I identified with Alek Manoah on the bump, their ace. He's been really, really good. Goes deep into games. He's 7-1 this season. Instead of laying that big juice on the money line or even that price you got on the run line, I can get Alek Manoah to be credited with a win at minus 123. I usually like that to be a plus bet, but again, the Blue Jays are a lot better than the Orioles, and Manoah, I'm pretty confident, can give at least 5 innings and be in line to earn a victory should his offense provide the requisite support. But that's usually only 2 or 3 runs when Manoah is on the bump, and that's the cheapest way to kind of invest in the Blue Jays winning, Manoah earning a victory at minus 123. Also, I'm going to look at my Cardinals on the run line, maybe even an alternate line. I think they win big today over the Pittsburgh Pirates, coming off a disappointing Sunday loss and a failure to earn a sweep against the Cincinnati Reds. going to have a lefty Zach Thompson making his first ever major league start against a Pittsburgh offense that struggles against left-handed pitching. The Pirates had the third highest K rate against left-handed pitching this season. Thompson brings good stuff in the mid to upper 90s from the left side. Had a 30% K rate in the minor leagues this season in 10 starts. Then the Cardinal offense is finally starting to get healthy again. Dylan Carlson, Tyler O'Neill are back, and they're playing well. This is a pitcher, Mitch Keller, of the Pirates that the Cardinals took on opening day and roughed him up in a victory. So they've seen him. They've had success against him. Now with Carlson and Nolan Gorman called up and Brendan Donovan playing well, they have those lefties in the lineup that can balance out Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Tommy Edman, of course, setting the table at the top as a switch hitter. I do think the Cardinals are poised as the Pirates are in the middle of a road trip. They got swept by the red-hot Atlanta Braves. Now they travel to St. Louis, and I think they're going to get a Cardinals team that's a little irked that they did not earn a sweep against the lowly Cincinnati Reds on Sunday, let one get away. So a focused effort with a lefty on the bump that's been promising in their organization against a Pittsburgh Pirates team that has struggled against lefty this season. So I'll lay it on the run line, which I think is plus 105. If you want to lay 2.5 runs for the Cardinals, I think it's plus 160. But bottom line is I think they have a good effort tonight at home against the Pittsburgh Pirates. All right. I think that will do it for our Monday edition of the Daily Wager podcast. Real deep into game five. Of course, that is the biggest matchup on the sports marquee tonight. It is U.S. Open Golf Week. So we will be talking about that upcoming here on the podcast. No Daily Wager today due to the game five of the finals. So you will not see Daily Wager on our airwaves. Anita and I, though, will be bringing you bets on our digital platforms, youtube.com/ESPN Sports Betting, on Twitter, on Facebook as well. The Bet Show will air live at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and then be available at your leisure on demand on those platforms. So make sure you tune into that as we'll dive into further analysis of Game 5 and get some boots-on-the-ground analysis and insight from Kendra Andrews and Tim Bontemp. So looking forward to that with Anita later today. Hope you enjoyed the Monday edition of the Daily Wager podcast. Hope you get your wagering week off to a great start. We'll see you back here on Tuesday.